This morning I'm going to take a look at, move back to the Sermon on the Mount. We spent quite a while in the Sermon on the Mount and went through all of the Beatitudes. We're going to continue in a section on the Sermon on the Mount that talks about the honest life. And we can find that in Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 33. Before you turn there, and I do want you to turn there, but before you turn there, I want to do another exercise together. So basically, I'm going to try to remember the passage, and I'll say it to you, and then we'll see if, as a group, we can reconstruct the passage again. The passage exists in four little sections. In the first section, Jesus says something like this. You've heard it said to the people long ago that you shall not break your oath. You should keep the oaths you make to God. Part one. Part two. But I say to you, do not swear at all. Not by heaven, because that is God's throne. And not by the earth, because that is God's footstool. And not by Jerusalem, because that is the city of the great king. It's part two. Part three. And do not swear by your head, for you are not able to make one hair black or white. Part four. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond that is from the evil one. Okay, what was first? Keep your oath. Don't violate it. Okay? That's good. That's the sum of it. Part two.
Don't swear at all.
Don't swear at all. And he gives some examples of how people swear. What are those? By heaven? By the earth? By the temple? That's four, or that's three, point three. By your head. Okay? Point four? And what followed that? Anything else is from the evil one. It's great. You put it, I think you've got it. So let's take a look at it a little bit closer. The story again is in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is sharing with people things that are most important for them to learn. If you had a condensation of Jesus' instruction, boy, this was a powerful sermon. And leading up to this, he's giving them examples of things like this. You heard it said, but I tell you, okay? You've heard it said, but I tell you. Now, we're going to be looking at some verses actually preceding this. Those verses talk about the issue of adultery and divorce. And the reason I'm not covering them today is because I really like to bring some people in to speak on these two issues, people who've walked the path. So we'll come back to those verses, but right now, I'd like to focus on the issue of honesty. There is a connection, though. There's a connection with those previous verses. Honesty has to be part of, and truth-telling and promising have to be part of a married relationship. So that's how it relates to this passage. You'll note the words again. You see the word again at the beginning of this text. Again, he says, again, you have heard it said. So he's referring to something that was just back of that. And it's this style that he's using. You've heard it this way. I'm going to tell you something new. So here we are. Again, you've heard it said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you've made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is God's footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. So there was a point of reference in the first point. He is working from a place known to the crowd. When he says, you've heard it said a long time ago, he's referring kind of to the general idea about promising or oath-taking. It's very clear in the Old Testament when you make an oath that you were to be a person of your word. Now, oaths are used in a lot of different ways, but mostly when people make an oath, they're trying to communicate to somebody else that what I'm saying right now is the utter and the real truth. And they're willing, in fact, to swear by something that their words are true. So, in the second part of our verse where it says to keep your oaths to the Lord, in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, in Leviticus, in Exodus, there were all these things about when you make a promise to God, keep your promise. Now, the people that were assembled around Jesus at this time would have known this. Nothing new. You haven't shared anything new to us today. I'd say Jesus is doing something like this. This is a map of Cherry Grove, and the little arrow points to where Cherry Grove Friends exists. So you are here. And that's what he's saying to the people strewn out, sitting on the grass on this hill. You are here. You understand this. You get this. But he's going to move them on. You know, in the map from you are here and where do you need to go? Jesus is going to tell them where they need to go. Why did he need to do this? He needed to do this because people had taken their promise-making to a different level. They made ways of qualifying their promises. They understood clearly that if you swear an oath either to God, or let's just say you're in a business dealing, and you say something like, I swear by heaven I'll have your product to you by Tuesday. That people use that as a way of hedging their bets. If you swore by heaven instead of by God's name, well, you weren't breaking the law of making an oath to God. You could say something like that, even intending not to carry through and not be in violation of the law about making promises to God. You see the difference here? So they found lots of different and very convenient ways of trying to influence people in their business situations, to influence people to buy from them, to accept their services, to get a deal. And it was by swearing. So let's move to the second idea. You are here, and now Jesus is going to express a higher expectation. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven or by earth or by Jerusalem. Now that is just the oddest thing. We think, why choose those? But we use them today. Have you ever heard, as heaven is my witness? You've heard this, haven't you? We have our own versions of it. We'll get to a few of those. But Jesus is saying, you heard this before. You understood, and really in the Old Testament, God was teaching people about honesty. In fact, in the Old Testament, it talks about in one of the prophets that God's going to do a new thing, and he's going to put his spirit in people's hearts, and their hearts are going to become soft and malleable, and the effect that comes out of their lives is truthfulness, because it's an inside job rather than just outside conformity. But they missed that point. They missed that idea, and so they made their own little ways of trying to state something as if it were honest, imply that it were honest, but not actually, for it to not actually be true. And Jesus is just listing some of those popular ways that people did it. They would swear by heaven, by earth, or by Jerusalem. And he's basically closing all the loopholes. Behavior, outside behavior, just won't get it when it comes to this. The issue of integrity is really an issue of integrity of the heart. And not only that, if you're going to swear by anything, do you notice here in the text, do not swear by heaven, for it is God's throne. See, what people were trying to do is they were trying, in their swearing, to put some distance between God and the thing that they were swearing by. Now Jesus is closing the gap. You can't swear by heaven because it's God's throne. Rats, can't do that one. You can't swear by earth because that's God's footstool. Rats, can't do that one. I can't swear by Jerusalem. You know, there was a very particular way that you could swear by Jerusalem. You couldn't swear, you could say, I swear by Jerusalem, but you could say, I swear on Jerusalem, and it would be okay. Now Jesus is closing the gap again. He's saying it, this is just trying to get around something that I'm trying to teach you, and it's about integrity that comes from the heart. Let's take a look at some of those things. Christians might even use this one. It's the gospel truth. Have you heard it? It's the gospel truth. Okay. As God is my witness, as heaven is my witness, I swear on my mom's life I didn't cheat on that test. I swear on my grandma's sacred grave, and she believed in the Bible. Have you ever heard the first part of it? I swear on my grandma's grave? Sure, okay. This was something I found on the internet that was just added. You can see that swearing itself is meant to just stir up, to make, if if what I'm saying isn't true, then what? She believed in the Bible. I'm swearing on that. It has to be true. I swear on a stack of Bibles. It's not just good enough to swear on one. You've got to have the whole stack. So these are ways that people say something, trying to intimate that what they're that they're saying something that's actually true. And Jesus is saying, that's out. Big circle, line through it. No more swearing. Point two. Point three, this is a pointed observation that he makes. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. Now, what's that? Right. They haven't taken into account Lady Clairol. I can't swear by my hair. That's kind of an interesting thing to say. The idea expressed here is something like this. May I lose my head if my word isn't good. That's the idea. And Jesus is saying something like this back. You have no idea about when you'll die. You don't control that. There's somebody else that controls that. But not only that, you can't, by willing it, make one hair on your head black or white. So what in the world are you doing trying to swear by your head? It's not even in your department to make decisions about these things. It's in God's department to decide these things. So he's going to push us toward what we would call clear speech. I do think it's interesting. I ran across this little example. The leopard spots. You know, there's one gene that switches this change, and the leopard is not in control of it. It's just an illustration of a lot of things in our lives we cannot predict or control. It's God's to control. And we certainly shouldn't make promises, grandiose promises, based on things we can't control. So he pushes us a little further. He's going to share a principle for us in the honest life, how to live the honest life. And it's simply this. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Yes or no. He could have said something like this. So just simply say yes or no in your interactions. But that's not the way they used to speak. We often do it today too. They double things up. So it creates a focus. When it comes to your interactions with people and you're giving them the idea, yes, I can do that for you. That's it. That's all that should be surrounding it. No fluff. No fluff. No expounding. Just simply be a person of your word. Same way with no. Be a person of your word. Some of you may know that the fair pricing system that we have here in America was originally started by Quakers. When I say fair pricing system, anytime you go to the store, there's a sticker on there that tells you what the price is. That didn't used to be the way it used to be. It used to be haggling and bartering. That was the system at the time. And early friends were very concerned about these verses. And they felt that the barter system actually sponsored lying. You inflate your ideas. Oh, it's really worth this. It's really worth this. And so people were being charged exorbitant prices for goods. So early Quakers said, let's do away with that. Let's figure out how much this product cost. Let's add a certain percent that would represent a fair margin of profit, and that will be our price. And the interesting thing is a lot of friends back in Pennsylvania, early friends, became wealthy merchants because everybody knew they were going to get a fair deal over here. That was one expression of let your yes be yes and your no, no, instead of all this haggling about prices or trying to say, oh, that's preposterous. I know that they're getting this amount of money over in the other part of Philadelphia. You know, that's that not being true. So here we are. We've come to this point where it's yes, and that's the sum and substance of it. Or no. None of the fluff, none of the added stuff. So let's think about some things that we could maybe take home with us today. We have these basic questions. Let's look at them. What do you think this story tells us about God? And we'll just open it up. What do you think this story tells us about God? Okay. God is not confusing. God is sincere.
In the true sense. And that Greek word means without wax. Because the merchants would sell pottery, and sometimes if there were cracks in them, the ones that were not sincere would coat them with wax and paint them, and they wouldn't know until they heated them up at home. So the merchants that had integrity would write sincere.
Could everybody hear that? Not? The idea, she talked about God is sincere and honest. The word sincere comes from how merchants used to take pottery that maybe had a flaw or crack in it, and they would drip wax into the crack. Then they would paint it and sell it as if it were a complete and whole piece of pottery. And only when you got it home and it got warmed up, did you find out it was cracked? To be sincere, God is sincere and honest and trustworthy, and so should we. Okay? Anything else this teaches us about God? How about human beings? What does it teach us about us?
We want to have more power with our words, so we'll grab and use somebody to kind of triangulate against a person or a thing to say, you know, I'm just not speaking for myself, but I'm going to go ahead and use the power of the temple, the power of God, or the power of these to give me words.
That's an interesting dynamic. We are power-oriented, and we use our language as a way of exercising it.
Part about simple yes and no teaches us about our fallibility. One time I was a witness in court, and I told the man who was going to swear me in, I affirm I don't swear. And he didn't know how to do it. And he said,
Okay. Anything else about people? Trust is an issue. And it gets complicated when we try to convince people in different ways that we're trustworthy. The best thing is, again, to be people. Let's see, do you have any questions about the story? Anything you heard here that was strange? For some, maybe that swearing by your head makes more sense. Anything else in the story that you might have a question about? Okay. What does this story say we should do or do differently? Let your yes be yes and your no be no.
No wiggle room.
No wiggle room. I have a little illustration about this. Some of us might go this way. Jesus had them separate, yes and no. And we like to push them together and give ourselves wiggle room. You know, the times where I have caught myself and realized, let's just say someone said, oh, did you see that, or did you hear about that story in the newspaper, and they start into it a little bit, and I think, oh yeah, I recognize that, and then as they continue a little further, it becomes obvious I had the wrong story. It wasn't for real that I knew about the story. The times that I have said, you know, I misspoke. I was thinking of a different story. And so I haven't heard about that. Maybe you could help me. It's so interesting. People kind of take a back, and it's almost like they appreciate somebody saying, honestly, I goofed. I wasn't following you well there. People will appreciate, I think, your attempts to be honest. So there's another example. The center area, we need to pull those apart enough so that there are no weasel words in those. Does anyone know what this is? What is this? What's going on here? It's a mind meld. Can you explain a mind meld? What is it supposed to be?
In Vulcan.
Yes, please do it in Vulcan.
Sorry, I speak of not the language. Spock would somehow, by touching and focusing, connect his mind with the mind of the person.
Great. Could everybody hear that? Okay. Now, this is something that I talked to our daughters about in high school. I said, I can't do the Vulcan mind meld, but I'd like for what's in your mind to be in my mind about this thing that you're talking about going to. Are you sure that what's in your mind is in my mind as well? Because I want that to be clear. I wouldn't like to find out that what was in your mind is different than what's in my mind. And that was the way we began to talk about getting all the details out there so that I had a clear picture of what was going on. And I think this is a good practice for you and me. That when it comes to truth telling, part of our saying yes and no would be to make sure that what's in our minds is in the mind of the other person. Brenda. Good. It was a fake. Maybe John, could I? There's a website for checking. Snopes. Okay. So, there, you know, you could look something up before you pass something on that may or may not be true. Okay. Well, I'd like to invite our worship team to come up for our closing song. And then I'd also like for us to pray together about these things that we've talked about. The youth group and I... When we do, would you please pass your friendship and worship cards to the center aisle? Someone will be along to pick those up in just a moment. The youth group looked at this passage this last Wednesday, and we talked about some ways that we might practice something together. And so I'm going to suggest a couple of things for you this morning. One of the things that we could do is to try to go a day without lying. And some people might say, oh, no problem. That's not a problem. I could do that. You know, one study says that people lie approximately in a 10-minute period 3.3 times. Check it out on Snopes. It's quite interesting. It is a patterned way of speaking. Are we really saying the truth? So think about this week and check yourself to see if you go through a whole day without lying, that what's in your mind is transferred to those who need to know it. A second thing that we could do is blessing people. In one sense, we're not telling untruths, but our language can be used to bless and encourage and lift people as well. So think about maybe those two things being things that we could do in this next week and practice those things so that maybe next week there'll be some insights that we could share with each other in our friendship and worship time.